Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking in the book of Zechariah. If you find a place over there in Zechariah chapter number 14. Zechariah chapter 14. As you look into this Bible lesson here, let me say to you that, if you will, it's not a pleasant thing. It's not one of them real good, feel-good kind of things. It's an informative message and all of that. But you're never going to hear anybody else speak on it. And you've never heard anybody else speak on it until now. You're never going to hear anybody else speak on it ever again. And here's one thing I've learned about preachers across the country, and they, excluding our present company, and by the way, Brother Darrell's going to preach Wednesday night. And Lord willing, we'll be back in, but just in case I forgot to mention that. And all that business there. One thing that I've noticed about preachers across the country, if they don't preach on something, they don't want nobody else to either. And if they feel like that you might, then you're going to be taboo. I want to say to you that, if you will, we're going to be looking there in the book of Zechariah. Notice in chapter number 14, verse number 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, and I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. And the city shall be taken, and houses rifled, and women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, so forth and on. He's going to come back. Then verse number 4 down through there tells about him coming back, and the Mount of Olives touching it, and it bursting asunder, and ending up going north and south, east and west, making a way of escape. In the lesson that you're looking at, verse number 9 said, "The Lord shall be the king of all the earth." He's coming back to set up his kingdom. And then in notice, if you will, please, in verse number 16. "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem even shall go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even unto them shall be no rain." In other words, they're going to come up once a year, or either they're not going to get no rain on their place. "And if a family of Egypt go not up and come not and have no rain, there shall be a plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to the feast of the tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. Now in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seethe therein. And in that day there shall be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts." Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you and how good it is to be in the house of God. We want to praise you, thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there's none else. Thank you, Lord, for now speaking to our hearts. We pray that you'd find us busily occupied about your business when the Lord shall come again. And we'll thank you and praise you in advance for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I preached the other night on Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Night, morning, or something like that. I don't know. I can't remember from one day to the next. But anyhow, we talk about how that Noah, remember, that he'd come off the ark, that he planted a vineyard. First time that wine's ever mentioned, he's laying there up there on the bank drunk from drinking wine. And whatever his son by the name of Ham goes by and looks upon him. And Genesis in chapter number 9 tells you about the story. And you'll find that over there, there are his three sons that have come off the ark with him. There's Shem, and there's Ham, and there's Japheth. Shem, that's where the Jews descend from. Ham, that's where the servant class now has descended from. That's where the black race is descended from. And then there's Japheth, that's the Gentile race. And as a result of that, everybody in the building, you're either a mixture of a crossbreed of all of those races, or either you're directly from one of those races, one or the other. Now, in the day and hour that we're living in, make no mistake about it, why is it that if a person says something about one of those races individually, that it makes you a racist? I want to tell you is that make no mistake about it tonight, there is a race of people that are God's apple of His eye, and that God looks upon more than anybody else. In fact, God will curse you if you curse them. And we're talking about the descendants of Shem. We're talking about the Jews. You know, if you get somewhere in an argument, somewhere talk about there is a place, race of people that are God's favorite, I guarantee you right now Al Sharpton's not going to be in it. Even if it had been the black race, Al Sharpton wouldn't be in it, or Jesse Jackson. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that I don't think that I have a bigoted bone in my Bible, but in my body, but I believe the Bible, and I believe that God said, "Let God be true and every man a liar." I've always preached this. You've never heard me one time. Be kind to one person and not to another because of the color of skin. I've never been that way. These people that are here tonight, all of you that are in this building, you're going to be able to know and get to know because the closer the coming of the Lord, you're bombarded with salt and pepper situations, black and white namely. And let me tell you, is that some of the most famous black men that I see on TV that seemingly speak with some authority, when you look them up, their wife's white. I don't care that they went to Harvard University, they didn't learn anything from there. Here's what you're going to find before the day is over and out. You're going to find out that while the last 300 years of Noah's life are blank, because that's what sin will do to you, it'll just finally mess up your history, mess up your life. But whenever he awoke and knew what Ham, his son, had done, he had already blessed him, the Lord had, and so he couldn't curse him. But he put a curse, and curse be Canaan, is what he said. And there was a curse put upon them. And let me tell you right now, you're not going to ever change that. The world's not going to change you. You're never going to outbreed that. You're never going to cover that up. You're never going to ignore that. I had somebody that made an argument with me and said, yeah, but you know what? About that over there in Genesis 9, that was just a curse for them at that given point in time. Hold the phone just a minute. I just read to you out of the book of Zechariah before the millennium of Christ is set up, and that curse reached from Genesis 9 all the way to Zechariah. Isn't that just what we read? Now, here's what happened is that those bunch of Canaanites were wicked. They were sexual. They were idolatrous. They were a godless bunch that invented their own ways of worship. And, buddy, let me tell you right now, as God said during the millennial, they'll not even be allowed upon the Temple Mountain. Now, that's how far that it's reaching. Next time somebody goes to tell you, well, that was just spur of the moment, you know. Well, there it is right there in Zechariah chapter number 14. Do I like preaching on that subject? Not at all, not at all. I can understand no preacher wanting to, and especially, you know what they'll do is, you know, in our church, they'll say, preacher, you know, in our church, we have a lot of mixed couples. Well, if a mixed couple were to come here, I wouldn't run them off, but I'm not going to quit preaching what God said to be able to keep them either. And in the Bible lesson that we're looking at here, you're going to find is that up and down the road of life, is that folks are ignorant exactly about what God said concerning this matter. Now, if it only lasted a little while, you better let Oprah Winfrey know it. She don't know it. You better let all these black celebrities that are multi-millionaires and so forth, you better let them know it. They don't know it. You better let just everybody up and down the road of life. Now, of course, The View, they can't know it. I mean, their heads wrapped so tight and they're so stupid and a bunch of big old ugly-looking, nasty women. One of them, Whoopi Goldberg, ain't that the ugliest black woman? I know some black women that are nice-looking. Who in the name of God would want to hook up with some skank-looking thing that's got a rug sewed in her hair by the name of Whoopi? Who? Anybody? Anybody will know? I don't know of anybody. I don't know of anybody that desperate. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, you're going to find out that everywhere we look, that on TV now, if it's a white man, he's got a black woman. if it's a black man, he's got a white woman. You got them now, you know, waking up in bed on TV, wanting to sell you their mattress. They'll wake up, you know, they're stretching good, and his side needed to be adjusted more than her side, and vice versa. And let me just say to you, they're just slamming that on us as quickly and as often as they possibly can. And let me say to you that, if you will, that they, I had a preacher, he's dead and gone now, he's in heaven, a good man, you knew him and knew him well. But here's what he told me. You know, Brother Dennis, is that I agree with you. And said, I got to tell you right now, is that I agree with you, but there's no way in the world I can ever say anything like that. See, I was preaching in the military, and the military is different. Oh, I see. So when you get in the military, you won't need a Bible. Just see what the military's doing. And then he said, you know, we live in the city. See, you're out in the country, and you're in a small area, and this and that. But if you lived in the city like we do, oh, I see. So the Bible, it can be dumped aside for the people in the city. Some said, well, you know, I'm talking about different location. I'll tell you something. I'm not serving a God that changes with every location that comes up in life. Now, let me tell you right now is that it wouldn't make any difference if I was black or whatever the color. I believe God in the Bible. And I'd say amen to whatever was in that Bible. And I'll tell you something else. Somebody said, well, you know, in the country, in the United States of America, things are different. Come off of that, man. Either you believe the Bible or you don't. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible said. And that means that you and I, we ought to love one another in the Lord and as the Lord has given us. And let me tell you, God's not going to change his word whatsoever. And you've already seen it from Genesis chapter number 9. All the way to the book of Zechariah, whenever the millennium will be set up, and then there'll be some real strict things that'll happen to the Canaanite. You'll not be allowed in the Temple Mount or the Temple site. That's just what we read. Now, I want you to watch this, and I want you to see that, if you will, is that the Bible says we ought to preach the whole counsel of God. And while this is not a shouting sermon, I want to tell you right now is, here's the way God operates while you be turned over there in the book of, Revelation chapter number 2. I'll give you a moment to find that. But here's what you'll see is that the Bible said in the book of Matthew in chapter number 4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so let me tell you, I preach some of that, it gets on me. I preach on that a lot of time, and a lot of it gets on me. But make no mistake about it, it's the whole counsel of God. Now, over in the book of Revelation, the Bible says in this chapter that we're going to be looking at, and I'll give you chapter number 2, Revelation, and I want you to notice that, if you will, that in about verse number 14 of that same chapter, Revelation chapter 2, it's in about verse 14. It's concerning the church at Pergamos. And the Bible says concerning that in verse number 14, after he talked about Antipas in verse 13, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Verse 14 said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Now watch this. God said to the church at Pergamos, I know there's some of you that don't believe the doctrine of Balaam, but I've got something against you because you allow people that do preach the doctrine of Balaam in your congregation. Here's what happened was, is that the people of Moab, and you're going to find out is that Balak, the king of Moab, he taught he couldn't curse whom God had blessed, and so he taught Israel how to commit fornication with those Moabitish women. And boy, and I'm going to tell you, as a result, it angered God, and there was some, 24,000 or something that ended up dying because of the plague that God put upon them. In this lesson that you're looking at, let me say the doctrine of Balaam, it's always, it involves idolatry. It involves immorality. It involves interracial marriage. And in that lesson there that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that that's exactly the thing he had against the church over there at Pergamos. Notice, if you will, in Psalm chapter number 105. Now, if you read Genesis over in chapter number 10 and about verse 6, you'll find the genealogy and the descendants of Shem and Ham and Japheth. They're all listed in there. But over in the book of Psalm, chapter number 105, here's a very plain passage that ought to be remembered, and here's what he said, verse number 23 and in verse number 27 of Psalms 105. Israel also came into Egypt, Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Look at it. Egypt's considered the land of Ham. Look in verse 27. And they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. All right, notice, if you will, over in Psalms 106, verse number 20. Thus they changed their glory into a similitude of an ox that eateth grass. This is when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments, and they couldn't wait for him to come down with the Word of God, so they began to alter it and got their own God built. Remember that? Aaron got those earrings and gold and melted it, and a golden calf came out. And they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt, and wondrous works in the land of Ham, and terrible things by the Red Sea. I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that when folks despise the word of the Lord, when folks despise what God has given, back in our text over there in the book of Zechariah, did you notice that he's mentioned several people and people that are attacking the people of God and so forth and on? But when it comes down to the close of him, he picks out one race and passes a racist judgment, if you please. And you know who it was? It was upon that curse that was back over in Genesis 9, cursed be Canaan. And here's where we find that it reaches far out and way down the road because the millennial's not yet gone. Look in Titus chapter 1 over in the book of the New Testament in Titus, and I'll give you a moment in chapter number 1. It's the same thing the Apostle Paul uses by the time you get to verse number 12 and a verse number 13 in the book of Titus. Now, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, and wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. I want to tell you something. When you begin to look at it, and you see that he called those Cretans, you read over there in the book of Genesis and in the Old Testament, and you'll find that Capitorum, something that if you pronounce it that way, Capitorum in Genesis 10:14 deals with these Hamites and deals with the fact is that somehow or another, they're not honest and they're not true and they lie and they cheat and they connive their way to try to get in success. Hey, you know what Joe Biden, you know, that imbecile that we have for a president, you know what Joe Biden and his crew are doing right now with all those millions of people that they flew into the country? They've got them lined up somewhere, signing up these illegals to be able to vote Democrat. Just like Nancy had all those piles of ballots already filled out to bring right in when Mr. Trump came in. I guarantee you right now, that's why they fight against photo ID whenever a person is going to be voting. I don't know what the problem is. I had to show my driver's license. See? I got to tell you, it's the lyingest, cheatingest, connivingest bunch. And I want to tell you how you can see it, how you can tell. And I don't mean this ugly, because I know some young men that are coming up and that are pretty smart, that are pretty talented, that are hard workers. And with the exclusion of present company, you want to see what good leadership a black man can do? Look at Africa. It's the land of Ham. Look at Egypt. It's the land of Ham. And let me say, I don't say that to be ugly or mean. I'm just trying to tell you is that that's a race that he said you'll be servant of servants is who you'll be. Now, the curse was not black skin. The curse that was put upon Ham and upon Canaan, rather, the curse that was put upon him, a servant of servants. That's why Obama had no business being president. The servant was running a nation contrary to the mind of God. If you don't believe that, ask anybody on Fox News or one of them queer women that they are always promoting. See how that gags at a gnat and swallows a camel? I want to say to you that as we get ready to close here tonight, is that make no mistake about it, is that there's about three times in the Bible when the word blasphemed is mentioned. Titus 2:5, when the word of God's being blasphemed. All right, and then if you will, when wives won't obey their husbands in the Lord, that's blasphemy. Romans 2, the Jews disobeying the Lord, that's blasphemy in the name of God. 1 Timothy 6:1, slaves disobeying their master. I remember one time preaching in a crowd about like this, and there was a woman got madder than a devil because of the fact she did not believe in slavery. I don't have a slave. I don't want a slave. I don't need a slave. I stay in enough trouble with a white woman without needing a slave. See? I guarantee you right now, make no mistake about it, is that she just could not see that God, what he did was, and here's what he did for them. What he did was he reprimanded the owner and said, you'd better give a fair shake and treat that slave right. Now, I'm glad I'm not geared that way, and I don't want that. And let me tell you right now, in black history, is that they've suffered a great loss and turmoil. And the reason being is because of the fact that white men and other men saw a reason to be able to put more silver and gold in their pockets and sold them and brought them here into slavery. And now, dear brethren, we're reaping what we sowed as a nation of that. I don't know about you, but I want to say to you in closing that, if you will, that my daddy taught me to always be respectful regardless of a person's skin color or whatever they were. And always yes or no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and to always be kind and respectable and show honor to any human being of the Lord where honor is due. I remember one time that I was there was an elderly man and black man, and he was asking me something. You Mr. Sonny Boy? Yes, sir, I am. And some nut come, you ain't got to say sir to him. I wasn't saying sir to him because I had to. I don't say sir to you because I have to. See? I say sir to you because you're one of God's creatures and because it's a respectable thing. You understand? Now, I want to say to you in closing that as we get ready to leave here tonight, there's a far-reaching message that goes from Genesis 9 all the way over. And, buddy, they're doing everything they possibly can to try to discredit that, tear that up, tear that out. They're liable to try to pin some kind of mega name on you for believing God in the Bible. And I got to tell you, why do you think they got so many different versions of the Bible? Here's what I notice whenever I'm studying out some of these subjects that are pretty serious. Here's what I've noticed. Most of the time, commentaries, when they get to those passages, they go to lunch. When they come back and start writing again, they're past that. And let me tell you, every pulpiteer across the country is just about like that. Here's what I know. You know, I did an article back in the 80s. I forget what it was, so forth and on. I can't tell you how many people that's wanted to refute. Now, they never give me a chapter, book, and verse. I don't believe that. Okay, that's your prerogative. You don't want to believe God in the Bible. Believe what you want to. But some of the same people that wanted to butt heads with me about it, when their daughter got to dating a black man, they got to calling up wanting to know, you ain't still got a copy of that article, have you? Yeah, but you're a little late now. You're a little late. See, my job's to be able to try to help you before you get married and your wife starts beating you up. See that? Make no mistake about it. God's still on the throne. Everything's running right on time. And whenever I have to preach these distasteful subjects like that right there, hey, I don't think God intended them to be for our pleasure, but to be for His recognition. See? I hope you'll receive it in the manner of which I intended for it to be, and that is that in days to come, somebody somewhere is going to deal with this in a more severe manner than what we're dealing with. It may be with your children. It may be with your grandchildren. See? It might be with your great-grandchildren. By then, I'll be in heaven on the other side, I'm certain. Stand to your feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we thank You for loving us. We ask Your blessing. Lord, You've been good to us. And we want to say thank You now. We pray You'd build a hedge about every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building. We thank You for the privilege to serve God together with them. In Jesus' name we pray.